Dale Arnold.
You know, I was just telling guys, you know, try to find a place for me to get the ball and try to put your body in position between the defender.
Rich Keefe.
That's not falling off.
Three more regular season games plus the playoffs. Let's see how it plays out.
You one more time.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Dale, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Keith, I don't know.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hurtful at this holiday season, I think, you know. I mean,
I thought about that all weekend.
A simple happy Hanukkah, Keith, would have been fine.
Would have been fine. Would have been great. But instead, he wanted to take it somewhere else.
Little greetings of the season
would
not have been out of order.
I'm sure we're going to get a lot of that today.
You know what else we're going to get a lot of today?
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of, told you it was coming.
Told you so.
I mean, I'm reading Dan Shaughnessy today. I'm listening to the National. I did.
Yeah. That's on you. That's your choice, Dale.
That's a you
Nobody
thing,
made
Dale.
You do it.
No one did.
No.
I did it because I think it's part of the job here.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's starting to do other people, you know. They told you the end was coming.
Well, I, for one, want to say that I enjoyed the Patriots dynasty. I did. I had a great time.
Well, I'm glad you're not going all the way to it's over
it
now.
It was most of my life. I really enjoyed it. Started, God, in high school for me. And now it's over. But it was a hell of a ride, Dale. Really enjoyed the whole thing. Five Super Bowls, a few more appearances in there. Always a team that was going to be, at the very least, in the final four every single season. You had the best coach. You had the best quarterback. All that. It was a hell of a ride. But losing to Pittsburgh after you always beat Pittsburgh, you dominate Pittsburgh, and the way they lost to them.
With Tom Brady doing Ben Roethlisberger things.
Yeah, that's it. It's done. It's over with. I mean, they're obviously a playoff team. And who knows? They may even still get the bye if they get some help from the Texans. But if they have to go on the road, you give them a sniff? Do you give them a sniff in Kansas City or even in L.A.? I know it's not this huge home field advantage, but they've gone on the road 8 times this year. They've lost 5 of them, including to some bad teams. And I don't even think Pittsburgh's that good.
No.
I really don't. They're not that good
of a team. They're an incredibly stupid team, and you out-dumbed them yesterday.
You did. You found a way to do it. And to score 10 points, I mean, there's so many parts of this game. They score 10 points. They give up a million yards on the ground to Jalen Samuels.
Well, Stephen Ridley's on that team, too, you know.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget Ridley.
Had three very important carries to get revenge against his former teammates.
No, that's true. He ran hard, and he got to celebrate the win. But Jalen Samuels, the Oakland Raiders held him to, like, 28 yards the week before. He had that on, like, 2 carries against the Patriots. It was awful. And I know some people are going to say, you're overstating it. Like, you know, they're still good. They're good.
They're not that good.
They're not great. They're certainly not great. They're not very good either. Maybe they're good. They're going to be 11-5. They got the Bills and Jets at
home. By the way, victory lap for Christian Fourier yesterday on Twitter.
He was saying 11-5.
He did the little googly eyes.
Yeah, I know. Tweet. But it was weird. I'll give him credit. But he just said they weren't going to lose the last two. He said all season they were 11-5. And he's right. It's hard to win, loss it. It's hard to pick the ones they're going to lose to. But it gets to the point where you're like, oh, well, Jacksonville treated it like their Super Bowl, so that explains the Jacksonville loss. Oh, you know, Matt Patricia, you know, he knows so much about the Patriots, that explains that loss. Ah, well, Tennessee has all these former Patriots, that explains that loss. Oh, they're always bad in Miami, that explains that loss. Like, well, now you're doing it for Pittsburgh, too?
What you'll find, by the way, Pittsburgh will lose next week because every team that's beaten the Patriots has lost the following week and looked awful.
Easiest money was yesterday. The Vikings were 7.5-point favorites at home to the Dolphins. There was no way the Dolphins were going to win.
Nope.
And it was 41-17. You cashed that one in pretty early. But they haven't lost 5 games since 2009. And we all remember 2009, for as far as the Patriots are concerned, and that's what we're grading it against. This is not a very good Patriots team. I know there are plenty of teams around the league that would kill for 11-5, but that's not the reality here.
Yep.
For the last 2 decades, this is a Super Bowl contender. And this season, they are not. I'm scratching them off the Super Bowl contender list. It was a nice run while they had it. I had them below the Chiefs. I had them below the Rams and Saints. But now they're even a notch below that.
I heard Jerry early this morning complaining about the officiating, which was awful, and it always is in the NFL. It's always awful.
Yes.
But the Patriots earned most of the penalties that they were handed yesterday.
They certainly did.
And
Trent Brown, and I mean, Shaq Mason.
Shaq Mason, the holding call on before the last play killed them.
Yeah.
And they out-dumbed the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that shouldn't be possible.
Sony Michel, I feel like, would have a 1,000-yard season if it wasn't for all the ones that got called back. Like, how many times do you see Sony Michel rip off a 20-yard run, finally, and then it comes
and
back?
And then look around.
Look around, Trent had him. Now, to be fair, he probably doesn't get 20 yards if, you know, Trent Brown or whoever it is at the time holds on to the guy in front of him, but That's happened more times this year than I can remember. But the other thing was interesting. You mentioned Fourier yesterday on the very popular NFL Sunday program.
Listen to it.
I said
I was driving home from Maine. I was listening.
It's pretty good.
It was excellent.
Signing,
yes,
pretty good.
It was great.
So I asked Fourier. I go, "What's their biggest strength? Like when you look at the Patriots, what would you say stands out to you that is their strength?" Not a good sign. He couldn't think of anything. He goes, they don't really have one thing. Now, sure, I mean, there's certain moments in games where you can say, hey, well, look at this. This is a classic Tom Brady throw, or, you know, Gronk had a good game last week. You know, there are certain things you can look at, but overall, what is it? You know, they don't rank at the top of the league in you know, points allowed or points scored, or there's red zone, third down. Like, what are they good at? What are they elite at? He couldn't think of anything. And then I was asking him about weaknesses. One of the ones he said was run defense, and that
Which
certainly showed
awful.
Itself. I mean, Jalen Samuels, I think he played tight end at North Carolina State.
Yeah, it's not like
he's not even a running back.
It's not like it was Le'Veon Bell lighting
no.
you up.
Yeah, you understand that. And that's the thing is they've had certain guys that have carved him up, and you're like, okay, well, that guy's a solid running back. But then there are others that you're like, he's a replacement. He's the third. We wouldn't even have seen Jalen Samuels if James Conner was healthy.
The other guy probably waiting to take a victory lap today is like Max.
Max Kellerman. I already ruled that out. You can't.
But he's going to.
I know.
I mean, I'm not saying he should. I'm
okay.
saying he will.
No, he will. You're right.
He'll take a victory lap today. And we have been saying all season. Oh, well, I shouldn't put that. I have been saying all
Don't
season long.
Put my name in your mouth.
That he doesn't look the same this year.
No,
he's
you're right.
missing throws that I'm not used to seeing him miss. He's missing receivers. He's making mental mistakes.
It's the way he is in the pocket, too. It's the way that when there's not pressure, it almost looks like there is pressure.
Like the last throw of the game.
Yeah.
Where he's falling backwards and there's no one near him.
Yeah. It's hard to complete throws.
Is he
seeing
ghosts?
Away. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yes.
Tennessee was one of the games where I really felt that way. I said, yeah, they got some pressure on him, but then there were other times where it's like he felt that there was more pressure. Second half against Miami. Because, again, the first half, not that long ago, might have been his best half. He was great. And then the second half, they couldn't get it in the end zone, and he didn't look the same. And then most of the day yesterday, I felt the same way. Because what did they sack him once? I think it was T.J. Watt got him,
yeah.
And that was about it.
And celebrated a lot, by the way.
He was excited.
You're the wrong Watt brother,
he was
by
excited.
The way. Just
he's a good
in case
Watt brother, though.
You.
No, he's a good Watt brother. Don't sneeze.
He's
don't
not as good as the
TJ.
Other Watt brother.
Well, okay, fine. He's not the best player in the league, but T.J. Watt's not bad.
Jay is better than T. Let's just say that.
That is for sure true. Don't they have another? I think there's another Watt brother, too. Isn't there like a third one? There's like a fullback
like
somewhere?
P.T.
Probably P.J. Watt.
Yeah, something like
who
that.
The hell
yeah.
knows? But Brady, a few times where he's standing there and then kind of twists away and like doesn't step into the throw at all. Which leads to inaccuracy. Now, also a couple of bad drops. You know, my guy Josh Gordon, everybody's guy Julian Edelman, right in the breadbasket. Each one of
Hit
them.
Hit him right between the numbers.
Like, you couldn't have asked for a better throw on both of those. So that, you know, Brady's numbers should have been a little bit better. But even still, not pretty.
Well, I was actually looking
about
at the target and reception numbers because you had some. For instance, Edelman, 11 targets, 7 receptions.
Yeah,
and then he's so reliable usually.
The one big drop, but I mean overall 7 catches.
Rob Gronkowski, 5 targets, 2 catches.
Yeesh.
James White, 7 targets, 5 catches. Now, that's good. It's just not James White like. It's that old Troy Brown line, if it touches my hand, I have to catch it.
Right.
And you feel like James White is going to catch everything that he touches.
Now, speaking of James White, let's get this out of the way. The second to last play
where he was wide
do
open.
You throw
in the
it
flat.
In there, don't you? Now, I don't think he gets in the end zone.
No, but he gets 15, 20
yeah.
yards and gets out of bounds.
He gets out of bounds. Stop the clock. You can reset, and then you're throwing from like the 7 or the 5.
And instead, Tom is heaving it to the end zone with
yeah.
a wide open James White, basically staring at him, daring him to throw it to him.
Right.
That's the sort of mental mistake that I'm not used to seeing Tom Brady make.
No, I know. You just
I heard him this morning. His explanation was, you were out of timeouts. He didn't know how many timeouts
which,
there were.
Which, by the way,
it's a step up.
That is. That's an improvement.
You know, we're out of timeouts, so you can't afford to take the chance that he gets tackled in bounds. James White's going to know that, by the way. We've been told James White thinks the game as well as Tom Brady does. He is not going to allow himself to get tackled in bounds. However many yards he could have gotten and still gotten out of bounds, that's what he would have done.
Right. And so they have all these chances from the 21-yard line. So it's in a situation where, you know, it's certainly not a Hail Mary. It's certainly not like a Desperado. It's not one of those plays, but it's also...
You're going to use Desperado the rest of your life now, aren't you?
Of course I am.
Hello.
The Selma Hayek didn't stick. I tried going to Selma Hayek. Nobody refers to it as the Selma Hayek, but they, the way the Steelers had it covered, they had a line of defenders in the end zone. So that's a situation where if you can get the ball down to the 7-yard line and then take another chance or two from there, or maybe just one chance even, then fine. I think you have a much better chance. And also, the play from the 21-yard line, let's run 4 vertical without Josh Gordon.
And let's run, I think Edelman ran the wrong route. Let's run Edelman right in front of Rob Gronkowski. So let's take his defenders and bring him into that schmoz as well. I think Edelman ran the wrong route.
I think that was one where, and you know, I just, you got to run something different. Just, again, 4 verticals, and then it was a delay, a little leak out from James White. So those were the 5 guys out on the field. It was Hogan, Gronk, Edelman, and Patterson.
I want to know.
Josh Gordon?
I want to know, and Bill Belichick, of course, had a great explanation. You know, why didn't you have Josh Gordon in? Because we had Cordarrelle Patterson. Oh, thank you.
Okay, all right. I'll write my story. See you later. Thanks. Yeah, so that one makes still no sense to me. But also, talk about lack of creativity. I'll just run 4 vertical.
It's on the 21-yard line. Was basically drawing up plays
get
in
open?
The dirt. His explanation.
Like, how insane is that? Get open? How you do it.
Don't you have a playbook that says, we're going to do this, 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 and this? And instead it's, you know, get open, put yourself between the defender and the ball.
Listen, Dale, I'm no offensive coordinator.
But you could be.
Well, in high school.
Played at the highest level.
We ran the keg on offense a little bit in high school if we had to, and that's no big deal. But you can't get like a little crosser. You can't get somebody running across somebody else. You can't do anything like that. I wouldn't even have mattered. Not like you're going full on Desperado, but why not run? Because you have a line of defenders at the goal line, why don't you throw it to around the 5? Because there's nobody there. They're all in the end zone. And then take a quick break and then pitch it back. Run a little hook and ladder. Run a little trickeration or something there, because they're just playing. You're down 7, so we know what the Steelers defense is doing. They'll tackle you at the 1 and gladly take the win. You're going to have to do something other than run straight down the field. And oh, by the way, I guess they have 2 guys that can jump over a defender and rip the ball away. One of those guys is standing on the sideline with us.
He's standing over with Josh.
That's not as bad as putting Rob Gronkowski in defensively, but it's on the list. That's such a head-scratcher to me, because they also, there was a timeout. Wasn't there a timeout?
I mean, were they that offended by the drop that he had where they didn't trust him to do it?
No, because that happened so much earlier, and then he continued to play. Right.
So, I mean, no, he played 92% of the snaps or something.
I can't imagine it was the drop. I also can't imagine that all of a sudden he got gassed, because they had time there. It wasn't like a hurry-up type of deal. Like, they were able to figure out a play, although I guess it sounds like they didn't even really have a play.
Didn't,
like,
the Steelers, because the Patriots were out of timeouts.
The Steelers did
call a timeout because they wanted to set their defense.
Right. So they call a timeout. So even if he was tired, I'm throwing that out, because now you have at least 30 seconds to catch your breath and draw up a play. So they take that timeout. They get in the huddle. They go, hey, guys, get open. That's not how it works.
How we play.
That's right. That's exactly how we play. And the results are very similar. Incomplete pass. Like, that is just so confusing. And so it's interesting, and you look at the back-to-back losses, which they have not lost back-to-back games in December since 2002, a year that they missed the playoffs, and they lose with a head-scratching play defensively against Miami and then a head-scratching play offensively against Pittsburgh. So it's like, again, you go back to the question like I asked before, like, what do they do? Like, what do they do really well? If you can't think of anything, that's a terrible sign.
I cannot come up with something.
No,
where I'd say, boy, they do this as well as anybody in the game.
Yeah,
and in the past, you've always been able to come up with stuff,
because you would think like the whole idea, like the whole situational football or the whole thing. And I remember, you know, going into the game, I certainly didn't think it was going to be 17-10. I thought it was going to be a lot higher scoring. I liked both offenses better than I liked both defenses.
And Matt Chatham liked the over at 55.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Oops.
I don't blame him. Yeah, just barely the under. Just caught the under.
Just got nipped there. That was a bad beat, Matt.
Like, that's just, I mean, but I think most people probably thought the game was going to go that way. And you thought, all right, if there's 2.5 minutes, even without a timeout, 2.5 minutes, one team has the ball and they need to score a touchdown. Didn't you feel like, yeah, that team's probably going to score the touchdown? Although the way the game was playing out yesterday, the only touchdown the Patriots scored was when 3 defenders went to Josh Gordon and they left Chris Hogan wide open, and he scampers in from 63 yards. It was the only score they had. I think they had 5 straight possessions end in a punt.
Yeah.
How often do you see that with the Patriots? So, and this is a team where Brady was 11-2 going into that one, including the playoffs.
Oh, wait a minute. Stop for a second. I think there's another false start penalty taking place we speak right now.
Well, blame the refs on that one.
No,
I don't think we are. You can't blame the refs on that one? No, the refs were
Ryan
bad,
Allen got a delay of game penalty on a field goal try.
Yeah.
How long does it take to set up the field goal? Now, luckily, Stephen Gostkowski hit the five-yard further kick, but...
Yeah, I mean, it really shouldn't be that big a deal. And it's too bad, because otherwise we'd be getting all excited about the Jonathan Jones, Rex Burkhead special teams play. Maybe the play
number
of the year.
Number one play on the Sports Center top 10 today.
Play of the year.
The greatest special teams history in NFL history.
Who cares? It happened in a loss. Doesn't matter. If that happens in a win, go ahead. You can celebrate it. You can talk about how great it is, especially if it leads directly to, you know, a safety or a short field or something. But when it happens in a loss, it's like, who cares? That obviously didn't derail the Steelers in that game. That's just frustrating. I mean, the Steelers lost to the Raiders the week before. The Raiders.
Now, you lost to the Dolphins the week before.
True.
So you're thinking, okay,
the Dolphins are more of a real team than the Raiders are.
Laser focused now. They are so upset about what happened in Miami. Getting beat on that last play of the game. Boy, are they going to come in loaded for bear. Yeah, maybe not.
What chance do you give them to get back to the Super Bowl?
10%.
Yeah, going zero. I'm going zero.
Well, I was trying to say that there's at least...
I'm going zero!
If you're in the playoffs,
no,
you have
happening.
Some chance.
I guess
but...
you do, but they're going to have to go on the road, it feels like. Right now, they're the 3 seed, so they're going to be playing Wild Card Weekend at home against Baltimore. Which, I don't even feel great necessarily about that. I think they win, because they're at home.
Well, they
won every home game.
They can't stop the run. How many yards will Lamar Jackson...
1,000. How many will Josh Allen have this weekend? Because I don't know who else.
He had his string of 100-yard game snap, though,
I know.
Didn't he?
So. He had a nice run going there. But they got the win. They beat Matt Patricia.
He doesn't actually... Matt Patricia. Who may not last more than a year.
I know. I said he was going to make it two or a year and a half. I may have given him too much time. That's a whole other story, how bad they've been. No, but I mean...
Josh Allen, who didn't realize you could actually throw the ball.
Yeah.
What?
You're allowed to. After Thursday night, you said, all right, this is good for the Patriots, going all the way back to Thursday when the Chargers beat the Chiefs.
Yes.
And now both teams have three
now
losses.
Now you're back in
you're like,
it.
Oh, here you go. And then they lose. They're probably going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. The only way they wouldn't. So this is best case scenario. They win out, which I don't think is crazy. But
here's
Bills
the
and Jets
glass half full key.
Yeah, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Positive Keith coming in. I don't
Whoa.
Believe a word of it, but oh, here it comes. The Texans lose next week to Philly.
Which... Based on how Philly played yesterday, you say, hey, you know what? Maybe they'll pull it off.
Maybe, you know, they got Nick Foles going. Maybe things will happen for
them.
Seems
to be better than Carson Wentz.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he does. So if they go 11-5, Patriots go 11-5, Pats on the tiebreaker with Houston, now all of a sudden, even at 11-5, Patriots have a first-round bye and then a home game. And then now Houston, in all likelihood, if they win their wild card weekend matchup, they would come to Gillette, which, again... Pats, say what you want about them. They're a different team at home, and they haven't lost yet at home, and 8-0 at home is probably likely. So
I'm no longer willing to even go there.
You think Bills-Jets can beat them?
I mean, can?
Well, sure. Like
you said, Josh Allen will run for 150 yards
against them. I know he might. He might. No, I don't feel great about it. And they just scored 10 points, and the Steelers certainly aren't known for their defense. You know, you look at them and be like, oh, look out, here they are. This isn't the Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, you know, Steeler defense.
Boy, they were strutting and cutting, weren't they, yesterday at the end of the game?
After that pick, they had a nice little...
Well, I mean, the entire
at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. God, they were.
Well, it's been a long time since they've beaten the Patriots, so you kind of understand why they were celebrating.
They were feeling pretty good about themselves.
But then, and then just to continue the positive, Keith, then you win that game, and then you hope that one of the wild card teams beats the Chiefs, or the Chargers and Chiefs play each other again,
right.
Let's say, and then the road team wins, and then the Patriots would get the AFC Championship game at Gillette.
Yay!
Then the Super Bowl's back on! Not happening. This is not their year. And then, you know, you get into the thoughts of what next year could look like, and that's kind of scary.
Wouldn't you love to be able to get Bill Belichick under truth serum?
Yeah, of course.
And ask him, is this what you thought was going to be? This is what you thought the beginning of the end for your quarterback would look like.
I bet he thought.
Is that why you, you know, kind of thought our backup plan better be Jimmy Garoppolo going forward?
Of course he did. I would say of course he did. I think this is probably what he thought Brady was going to look like 2 years ago.
Right.
But he didn't. And he had really, in my mind, back-to-back MVP seasons. Now, you know, one of them, he only played 12 games, so they didn't obviously give it to him. But he had two unbelievable years. But I think Belichick was anticipating this. He was anticipating this all the way back when they drafted Garoppolo, like 5 years ago or whatever it was. So he was probably thinking this was going to happen because you wonder, like, what's the cliff going to look like? Well, Brady doesn't have a million neck surgeries, so it's not going to look as bad as Peyton Manning. It's just not. Like, that was insane. He went from being one of the best in the league to the worst in the league, like, overnight. That's not going to happen with Brady. But if you can compare this year to last year, one of the big differences in the team is him. Like, there's no getting around it. I mean, the quarterback is that important to the team that you can't just put it on everybody else. The reason why they were, you know, a Super Bowl team last year and the best in the AFC was because they had the best quarterback in the league. Now when he's back sort of more in the middle of the pack, combined with some of the other, you know, roster decisions and player personnel, sure, but really it's him. That's why they're likely going to finish 11-5.
The other thing that I wonder about, and it's, you know, what I always wonder about, is that Brady's always said he'll play until he sucks, and then he doesn't want to play anymore. Now, he doesn't suck. He doesn't. He's not the worst quarterback in the league like Peyton Manning was at the end.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's middle of the pack.
But can you win a Super Bowl with
this? By Tom Brady's standards,
yeah.
Is he looking at this and saying, you know what, this isn't what I had in mind?
Well, it's right, because, I mean, you can look at Brady and the Patriots in the same light, in the sense that, do they suck compared to the rest of the league? No. Do they suck compared to what they normally are? They might. They might.
Yes.
I mean, the way you're used to going, I mean, you go from MVP or Super Bowl winner or at least Super Bowl participant to what you're dealing with now. And, yeah, it becomes, you know, does Brady want to even come back? Does he want to keep going? Does he think he'll get better? I do. I absolutely wonder.
I mean, I'm looking at a guy who's chucking and ducking on plays where there's not even people around him.
Right.
And he looks like a guy who's kind of gun shy.
Yeah.
Which at the end of his career, by the way, you play 20 years in the NFL, I could see it.
Oh, yeah.
I could absolutely see.
Jared Goff looked like that last night.
Yeah.
And he's
not been 20
no,
years
not
in the league.
Close. And he was doing the same thing that Brady was. He got hit a lot in the game, but then even times that he wasn't getting hit, he was kind of spinning off to the side and you know, not, you know, completely stepping through his throws and everything else. But, yeah, I think that is a real question now with Brady.
Like Tom Brady, unable to throw the ball out of bounds, so it ends up being picked off. An excruciating,
brutal
Ben Roethlisberger-like interception because he just didn't have the strength to get it out of bounds there.
Yeah, that was like a,
was a,
like a Sam Darnold. That was a ridiculous, like a young quarterback's thing. I mean, you look at both forgetting timeouts last week and then this week with the interception, which was just inexcusable. And then I don't know if I blame him necessarily, but the last couple of plays, I think you got to look at McDaniels. Maybe the very last play, you look at Edelman. He did miss James White, though. Brady did. So there was a lot there in that final drive where he said, you know what, they have a real chance. They should. The old Patriots, you feel like, could have marched down the field, tied the game up, and gone into overtime. But the team yesterday, like,
no, hey, you know what I was thinking? If Brady scores here, does Belichick go for two to win? By the way, the answer is no.
I don't think they probably do.
He
right?
would not.
No, because I think at that point you still trust your defense. You'd only allowed 17 points to the Steelers. Like I think the Anthony Lynn play back on Thursday night, that made more sense to me because you were in Kansas City.
He did not want to give Mahomes the ball again.
Right, and they were scoring. Both teams were scoring a lot better than either of these teams were yesterday.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Do you feel like this is the beginning of the end? Because it kind of sort of feels that way. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. We will talk to James White. We will talk to Trey Flowers. Rob Ninkovich will join us here in the studio at Gillette somewhere around 12 noon. But we'll dive right into the phone calls with you guys because it sort of feels that way to me, like the beginning of the end here.
It's the end of the end.
Oh, that's even. Where did Positive Keith go?
He's gone. He's gone. I just showed that as an example. That's something that somebody could say. It's not what I'm saying.
We return to Patriots Monday and Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
If you watched that game yesterday,
yep.
If you think for 1 second Tom Brady's going to play till he's 45, you're foolish. Mm. If you think Tom Brady is the same quarterback, can he make throws? If nobody's in his... Well, everybody can make throws if they got a clean pocket.
Mm.
But Tom Brady doesn't want to stare down that gun barrel anymore, Skip Bayless. And there are two occasions in which you saw it yesterday. And then there are some occasions there was nobody around. And he's a dying goat. You know, they got them goats, not Jenny, sometimes. They get them, they just kick over on you. That's Tom Brady yesterday. Mm. You saw it. He's flinching, Skip Bayless. Mm. He's not that same guy.
Mm-mm.
Were you adding any of those, Rossi, or was that just Skip unedited?
Or did we just add the only ones that got added?
I'll tell you right now, he was on a madness right
there. He's an active listener. I kind of respect it.
That's a little distracting, but here's the ratings news for last night's game.
Yeah,
I thought it was a bonanza. As you might expect in Boston, gigantic. Mm. Mutt and Callahan had the numbers this morning today. 41.9 in Boston, which... You would expect, think, you know, they're going to do a gigantic, because they always do a gigantic
they
number
always
in Boston.
Do. But it's more like in the 30s, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, normally? No, this was even bigger than normal. Yeah. But nationally, 16.5, the highest rating for any game on any network this season.
Wow. How about that? So maybe it's
Rossi, we'll do our own.
Yeah, we got it.
Thank you very much.
The 4:30 window, maybe? They like that one?
Well, it's the national window, and, you know, it was...
Nance and Romo.
I like Romo.
I love Romo.
I don't understand people.
I love Romo.
Now, he gets a little distracting at times.
By the end of the year last year, I started to go, okay, like the way he describes some of the replays is just, like there's a lot of that. But overall, he's the best one. Like, who do you prefer? Dan Fouts? I don't think so.
No, maybe not.
Like Aikman? Nope. Like even Collinsworth. So those guys are the best. But that's the game. I mean, that was such a huge game. And it's still two of the most popular franchises in the whole country, too. I mean, there's Steeler fans everywhere. People love Pittsburgh for whatever reason.
Speaking of Collinsworth, did you see what they did this weekend?
The other side.
So the big thing for people who don't know is they start with Al, and Al's talking, and then Collinsworth slides in.
PFT commentary has been all over this thing.
Everybody's been ragging on this whole slide-in thing. So this weekend, they slid him in from
other
the left.
Way. Wow.
And it was like minds blown.
This guy does what? Holy smokes. So yeah,
and you just know they were trolling people.
They were, for sure.
Good for them.
They did a great job. Absolutely.
I just think that this is... Now, I do agree with one thing that Shannon just said, and I've been saying all along. There's no way he's playing until he's 45.
No.
That may be
his
desire.
Does he play until he's 42? Does he play another season? Because this... I guess maybe it even just depends on how does he and the team look in the playoffs. And right now, we have no idea. Like they could be one and done. They could win a home game and then lose on the road. They could make it to the Super Bowl. I don't think they will. I really don't. But maybe depending on how things look. But if he throws a bad interception or forgets how many timeouts there are again in a big spot like the playoffs, you think he's going to want to go through with all this again? Now, the fact, and I've always said this, I'm with you, I don't know about 45, but just the TB12 method and the whole idea of how good it looks the longer he plays and how impressive that is, I think that's just another, not the only motivating factor, but another one.
Does it look good, though, if he's not playing well?
No, it doesn't. Not if he's not playing well. And that's why, I mean, that's the line this year. Like, it's not super obvious, right? Like, he's not as good as he was, but he was also the MVP. He's not a trash quarterback. He's somewhere in the middle right now. Like, there are certain times where you say, look at this guy. Like, the throw to Patterson against Miami. Or really the whole first half against Miami. You're like, all right, there's nothing to see here. But overall, he has not been very good. How about this stat? This will blow your mind. You want Rich Keefe's stat of the day?
Is this positive Keefe or not so positive?
Oh, this would be not so positive.
No, this
Keefe.
Is negative Keefe. This is normal Keefe.
This is actually from Kevin Duffy. So let's give Kevin Duffy credit. Right. But I'm going to call it the Rich Keefe stat of the day.
Go ahead.
Kevin Duffy. In the past decade, the Patriots have scored 10 points or fewer 8 times.
Wow.
It's happened 3 this season. Think about that. 8 times in a decade, and one of those games was a Week 17 game where Brady only played a half.
And they didn't really care.
So punt that one away. So it's really only happened 7 real times in the last 10 years, and 3 of them were this year. They scored 10 points to the Lions, Titans, and Steelers. 10 on the nose. That's crazy. Especially, again, I keep going back to it, the numbers that some of these quarterbacks are putting up, like Breeze and Mahomes and Phillip Rivers and, well, until the last couple of weeks, Jared Goff, the numbers are so through the roof that you would expect Brady to also sort of go up. It's not just the young guys. I mean, look at Breeze and Rivers, the seasons they're having. So a quarterback rating in the mid-90s, most seasons would be great. Not anymore.
That's not
good anymore. That doesn't count. That was like all of a sudden where like, hey, 30 home run season's pretty good. You're like, no, sorry, guy. We're hitting 40 and 50 now. We're not going to take your 30 home run season.
And Tom Brady's quarterback rating yesterday was 89.9.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Dan Marino said, that's pretty 90. Good. But now that's not good at all. So That's because normally the offense was just something you could always rely on. And even if they didn't lead the league in scoring, they were second or third.
They, like, just they were always outscore teams.
Yeah, they were at the top all the time. Obviously, 07 was sort of a different animal. But after that, they still had these great offenses. And this year, it hasn't been the case. I mean, think about that. You can hold the Patriots to 10 points. It's happened three times now on the season. And how many of those teams are even going to be in the playoffs? One? The Steelers. The Steelers after their win, they'll be in there. But the Lions aren't going to be in there. You know, I guess the Titans have a chance still, but as of right now, they're not in there.
When it does come to an end, and let's say it's not this year.
Yesterday, about 7:30.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah. Whenever it does.
He is going to fall off a cliff.
Whenever it happens, whether it's this year, next year, how long will the drought be?
How long do you find your next quarterback? If it's a Bills or Jets or Dolphins, like, look for the next quarterback. And actually, I don't even know if the Jets ever had a quarterback. But if you're replacing Jim Kelly or Dan Marino and you still never find the replacement, it might be that long. It might be 20 years. Right? Like, that's not even being negative. That's just being realistic. Like, if you don't have the next quarterback, if you don't go Montana to Young or Favre to Rodgers.
Or Brady to Garoppolo.
Or Brady to Garoppolo. No, that's gone.
No, that's.
I don't know if you heard.
Not an option.
So, no. You have that.
Because he's hurt.
Yeah, he is hurt. So who even knows how that would have worked out. But you got to find the next quarterback now more than ever. I mean, even then it was important. Even in the 90s when you were switching from Montana to Young, it was important. But now it's even more important.
Could you imagine if this offseason included the departures of both Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady?
Yeah, then what is it? I mean, you could do anything you want next year for your offense. You could keep it the same with Chad O'Shea. Or you could go – I mean, that's probably what they would do, by the way. Belichick's always sort of promoting from within. I don't think he would go out and hire somebody else. Although, maybe desperate times call for desperate measures. I don't know.
Depending on what he ends
up quarterback
with the quarterback is,
yeah. Because by all accounts, this is not a great quarterback draft class. I know I read one article, or we were reading it on the air the other day, that called it intriguing. But I'm like, man, I think that's another word.
What does
word
that mean?
Yeah. That's another word for not very good.
Yeah.
But please read this.
Like, as opposed to what a great draft class this is.
You got
to
convince Kyler Murray to not play baseball.
Good luck with that.
Join your team.
He's already the ninth overall pick for the Oakland A's and probably going to go play baseball.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll have plenty of time to get into all that, but that's the scary thing in the league is if you don't have that next quarterback, then you might have years of and Belichick's such a good coach that I don't think as long as he's here, they would never bottom out and be 5-11. I don't believe that anyway, or 6-10. But are you 8-8, 9-7 with, you know, some jabroni quarterback? Yeah, probably.
Hasn't Bill Belichick / staff had back-to-back weeks with questionable calls at the ends of games where it's automatic. You have the better coach.
Yeah, good point.
You're going to out-coach the other guy.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Mike Tomlin's overrated, and yet it was your coaching staff that, in my humble opinion, made another crucial mistake at the end of a game. That I'm not saying it cost them the game because who knows what would have happened.
Yeah,
but it didn't help.
No, it didn't. And if you want, I don't know if we want to open up this whole can, but if you want to go back to the Super Bowl. You have that. You have the Miami game. This game, maybe not as much. It was just frustrating at the end. I question the play calling by McDaniels, the personnel, but not nearly as bad as having Gronk out there for the last play against Miami. You know, that should have been a win, but that also should have been a win where there's still some flaws. Right? Like, even if they won, you wouldn't look at it and be like, nothing to see here. Like with the Miami game, you would have said, all right, there was reasons why it was that close at the end, and there were other decisions that they made and other issues throughout that entire game.
If Garoppolo was still here, and I'm just using this as an example, if he were still on the roster, we'd have people right now calling on, you know, it's time to make the change at quarterback. It's time to get Jimmy G in. Now, he's not here.
Right.
He's not going to be here next year either.
No, he's doubtful.
So are people going to be as adamant about getting this guy out?
No.
In other words,
no,
we got to make the switch because
there's nothing behind him. No, there's nothing behind him. So you're not going to get any of that. Now, there's going to be if they go another year and don't draft a quarterback, you know, at least in the first 2 days, not Etling, or if they don't somehow acquire a quarterback, whether it's, you know, AJ McCarron or Teddy Bridgewater or somebody that seems like a serviceable starter who can be a backup, if they don't do that, I think people are going to start to get upset. But you're certainly not going to call for the backup when there just isn't one. There's no viable option as the backup. You're right. If Garoppolo was here, you'd hear
be
that.
Hearing it today.
Rightful.
You'd have heard it last week.
Yeah. Yeah, you would. But I don't know. I mean, this team, and Brady even said this at the beginning of the year, this team, the way it's built, needs a great quarterback. And right now you're not getting great quarterback play. So you add it all together, and what you're going to get is a playoff team, but not a Super Bowl contender.
Non-stop wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
They're absolutely in trouble. And I've been saying it for weeks now. This is not the same Patriot team. And the reason why is simple. They're older. They're slower. I mean, and eventually, you know, Father Time catches up to you. You look at Gronkowski, he's running with a piano on his back. I mean, he's not healthy. And Tom, he's not, you know, some of those throws that we showed right there, his feet aren't even set. So that's not the Tom Brady you're used to seeing. And to me, that's the thing. The rush is bothering them, all that kind of stuff. But look, and I'm not trying to slight Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh played a great game defensively. Right. But this team is older and slower, and they are desperate for the bye. And if they don't get it, we showed that stat right there. If they don't get it, I think they're in trouble.
Rex Ryan, one of those people who just will be dying to take a victory lap when this happens.
But I now, think he kind of can.
I was going to say, I also can't disagree with a whole lot that he said.
No.
You know, we mentioned earlier about, can you imagine if the Patriots this offseason lose both Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady? You can add Gronk to the list.
Gronk, Edelman. I mean, there's a
chance. You look at Gronkowski, he's running with a piano on his back.
If anything, the guy with the piano on his back is the one I think is most likely to be gone. Right? I mean,
and he's
McDaniels
the one who,
looked,
who
job,
looks
but...
most hampered.
He
there.
Does, and he
doesn't
flashed.
Look anywhere close to his normal self.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, you get into it with him, it's the cap hit, $12 million. They're not going to want to pay it. Is he a guy that wants to take a pay cut, or is he just say, you know what, I had a good nine-year career, I'm going to move on. But, yeah, all these guys that have been talking about it for a long time. Now, Rex Ryan may be a little bit different than Kellerman. Kellerman's been saying the Cliff thing for a while. It's gotten to the point where it's kind of obnoxious, and that's his thing. But for Rex Ryan to look at this team and say they're older and slower, part of it is not just Brady. I mean, he's the most important piece of the whole thing. But when you look at the offense, you remember after the Rams-Chiefs game. Now, I know the league hasn't, you know, gone to 50 points every single game, but you're looking at the playmakers that those teams have compared to these playmakers. And I like Gronk, and I like Edelman, and I like Gordon, but do they have some of these guys that have, like, the world-class speed or just the insane, like, in a blink of an eye, 60-yard touchdown? I know Hogan had one, but it was a broken coverage and he was open. But I'm talking about these just electric, game-changing guys. They don't have that. And the way Brady's throwing maybe wouldn't even really matter, but I think that kind of player would help him out.
I'll also say this, that as a Patriots fan, it may frustrate you when people like Rex and Max and others, you know, will start to take their victory lap.
Yeah.
You, meaning Patriots fans, you've kind of earned it. I mean, you've kind of been, all of us, me included, collectively.
Oh, yeah.
We've been real obnoxious for a long time
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but we don't need our comeuppance now. I'm not from them.
We deserve a lot of this.
I mean, Rex Ryan's basically out of a job because of the Patriots.
Because of the Patriots.
You know, he's been trying to
And
go
we've
up
mocked
the
him mercilessly for how long?
And all these guys that hate him, they're usually former Steelers or they're former Ravens or they're former whatever, and they lost the Patriots for so many years. I mean, the truth is, nobody has this kind of run in the NFL, and nobody's going to. They just aren't. I mean, you even look at the Rams. They might not even win the whole thing this year the way they're going, but then they have a million cap things they have to deal with. They're going to have to choose whether they want to sign Goff, which they probably will, but they're going to have to get rid of everybody else. Like, you're just going to start to see it around the league. Even the Chiefs, they look great right now, but what's going to happen with them once they have to pay Mahomes and everything else? Like, it's just, there is not going to be an 18-year dynasty with any other team. It's just not going to happen. The question is, with the Patriots, can they squeeze out another year? It does not look like it.
To your point earlier, you know, and if you think about how this has gone here and how long it's been and all the things that have happened here, it's going to probably crash, not cliff-like, but pretty quickly. It's probably, you know, you're going to have to undertake almost a total rebuild of the offense.
Well, and the reason is because of the decision last year with Garoppolo. That's what it comes back to. And I don't know if he'll ever be an all-pro, but at least he looks like a starter in the league. And maybe with Belichick really could have been something. The other part of the transition, if you want to already go there, would be how much does Belichick, like if Brady leaves in a year or two, how much longer is Belichick here? Because if he's here for a little bit, then I trust at least something will get put in place for the future. But if he also leaves soon, then forget it. Then you are the Jets. You are the Dolphins. You are the Bills. Hey.
Now, that seems an especially cruel thing to say this morning, Keith.
I'm sorry. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
You are now the Jets.
You're looking like it.
Except,
but without a quarterback,
they've got a young
third
quarterback.
Overall,
yeah.
Who actually looked pretty good on Saturday, even in a loss.
They've got a young quarterback, you know, and a developing quarterback who's, you know, paid his dues, taken his licks this year.
Yeah.
Theoretically, will be better next year.
I think so. I think he could be decent. Now, they have a long list of guys that have not, it has not worked out, but he looks decent enough, but at least that's the direction they're going in. Right? Like, hey, we're giving it a shot. We invested a really high draft pick. That's what most of the teams have to do who find their quarterbacks. So what's the next step for the Patriots?
You go back to that NFL Films video of Brady and Belichick standing on the sidelines in New Orleans. And Belichick, I'm paraphrasing now, basically saying, I just can't get them to do what I want them to do. I don't sense that's what this team is. I get the sense he really likes this team, but they may be incapable. I always used to joke about Daisuke. Is it that he can't throw a strike or that he won't throw a strike? And I think it was he wouldn't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it.
Well, and
I don't think this team is incapable, or that they don't want to do what he wants them to do.
Yeah.
I don't think they're physically capable of it.
Yeah, I don't think they are. I mean, you go back, and that was 2009 where he said that, and this team, we were even saying that early on, maybe when they were 1-2, like you're like, well, something's a little off with this team, but hey, that's early season, they usually figure it out. But then as the year was going on, you're saying, you know what, this might be more like 2009. It's the last time that they've had at least 5 losses in a season. It was 2009, so that breaks that streak year, and you're practically in the Super Bowl, you know, half the time. Like, nobody does that, I get it. But also, this year does feel different. It feels like not only are they just in the pack with the teams in the like the playoff teams in the AFC, but they might be on the bottom part of that group. Like, if there's six teams that make the playoffs, they might be fourth, fifth, or sixth.
I think a week or so ago we were looking, and the Patriots, or this was before the Miami loss, the Patriots were like third in Las Vegas in the Super Bowl odds. The Rams were ahead of them, and the Chiefs were ahead of them, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I wonder how far they've fallen today.
Oh, we can effort that. We can get to that. Yeah, I would say, although the
other
Rams,
teams have
the
also
Rams,
fallen back.
The last
back.
Two
yeah.
weeks, the Rams yeah. don't look very good. We'll see what the Saints do tonight. They're on the road, and the Chiefs are coming off a loss. The Chargers seem to be kind of the team now all of a sudden.
Everybody loves them.
I think everybody really likes the Chargers, and so we'll see who gets home field out west, but that team would probably be the odds-on favorite to get all the way to the Super Bowl.
617-779-7937. Greg is in Milton. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good. Doing great.
So I've been a season ticket holder forever.
Nice.
And I think, Brady's been slipping a little bit, but I think the bottom line is we are now seeing a team that's the function of very poor drafts for 5 years. And if you could add a tight end and a wide receiver on the offensive side, two linebackers, a defensive lineman, and a safety on the defensive side, that's 6 players that over the last 5 years we haven't been able to draft. And at the end of the day, Belichick, the coach, has taken care of Belichick, the GM, by great coaching. And right now we're seeing lack of talent. It's as simple as that.
You know what? I mean,
I think it's valid.
I think it absolutely is. You look at the drafts. I mean, what the last 5? What do you want to go back to? 2014. Go back to the Garoppolo draft, I guess. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, they only had 2 picks in the first 3 rounds that year. Dominic Easley gone. Jimmy Garoppolo gone. 2015. Malcolm Brown. Do we like Malcolm Brown?
Well, at least he's still here.
He's on the team, but Jalen Samuels just ran for 142 yards, not stopping the run. Jordan Richards, Geno Grissom. And then Trey Flowers. So there's one.
Trey Flowers is a very good player.
Very good player.
And he'll be gone next year.
He'll probably be gone. So that's the 15 draft. You have Trey Flowers to show for that. 2016, Cyrus Jones, gone. Joe Tooney starts for you. He's fine.
He's a starter. That's
Jacoby Brissett, Vincent Valentine, Malcolm Mitchell, blah, 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 blah. You didn't have a first-round pick that year, so no good. 2017, you didn't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick. Derek Rivers is a healthy scratch all the time. Antonio Garcia, not on the team. Dietrich Wise, he plays. Doesn't make any plays, but he does play.
He's on the field.
And then this year, obviously it's too early, but you see rookies making impacts around the league. Isaiah Wynn on IR, Sony Michel, we've seen some good. We've seen some bad.
Yeah,
exactly. Duke Dawson's been out. Juwan Bentley has looked good in preseason. Then he's been hurt. And all the other guys were 6th, 7th round picks. So the last 5 years, Trey Flowers, Joe Tooney starts, Sony Michel. That's what we have. 5 years worth of drafts. That, I mean, that's a good point, because when you're also talking about, hey, the teams, your star guys are getting older and maybe a step slower. Brady, Gronk, Edelman, you know, the McCourties, you know, Hightower. You need some of those guys who are, oh, by the way, on their rookie deals that are good value players. You need them to sort of carry you. You go back to the Seattle Super Bowl. How old was Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins and Butler? Like, they had a lot of young guys that factored into those teams. Right now, you don't have that at all.
And isn't a five-year stretch of, you know, not much help from the draft, isn't that a pretty fair sample size? So what would be the indication that you think suddenly in the 2019 draft, you know, they're gonna put five guys on the roster and two starters and a future All-Pro? Why would you think that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, again, Positive Keith would say, and he doesn't believe it, but he would say this.
This is two appearances by Positive Keith today.
I thought he was dead, but he may be by the end of the show.
He might be.
Two of those 5 years, they did not have a first-round pick, one of which they got Brandon Cooks in here. It was pretty good.
And one of which the NFL took away from you.
Exactly. But the other thing was, going all the way back to 2001, they always had really good first-round picks. Now, it was a bit of a sliding scale, and you could say, well, Merriweather, Maroney, Ben Watson, but they at least played. Like, they weren't busts. Now you go Malcolm Brown, kind of Dominic Easley, the biggest first-round bust they have had, and then Isaiah Wynn is a
we don't know yet,
and then Sony Michel. So their first-round picks also haven't been as big a slam dunks as they were before when you were getting Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, and some of these other guys.
617-779-7937. Dale is in Longmeadow. Hey, Dale.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Dale. Doing great.
Great. Listen, I was on hold, so I couldn't hear all your comments. I was following up on the caller with the where he commented about our first-round picks not being that strong.
Right.
I don't know if it was mentioned. I think it's a repercussion of us losing that Deflategate pick, that first-round pick.
Well, that's one of them, sure.
Sure, it interprets into maybe 2 third-round picks, something like that, for trade value. So that has a tremendous...
Yeah, let's be honest, there's a lot of that trading down stuff.
They do that anyway. But, I mean, that is one pick, and that happened. But five drafts is a pretty good sample size. So, yeah, you'd like to have the one pick, but who knows? Maybe they draft another Dominic Easley. Like, you don't know. The recent track record still has not been very good.
Well, you know, this year where Belichick wanted to trade up to get the Cleveland first-round pick, that quarterback there, he would have had more leverage if he had that first-round pick, which they did not.
Well, they lost that pick, like, what, 2 years ago. So I don't think that has anything to do with it at this point. So you're going to say you're giving them a free pass on the bad draft picks because they lost a first-rounder in Deflategate?
Yeah, maybe not.
Like, that, I mean, come on. Like, if you want to make excuses, I guess go for it, but I'm not buying that one. If you want to say, you know, hey, look at these two drafts, and these two were terrible, but they lost a first-round pick for a stupid reason, then you have more of an argument. But the last 5 years... to have really one impact player. I mean, again, Joe Tooney's on the team. Malcolm Brown's on the team. Sony Michel's on the team.
Well, Tooney at least plays like 100% of the offensive snaps.
But as far as like guys that I feel like wouldn't be easily replaceable with just another an NFL player, Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers.
That's about it. And you got him in like the 4th round.
And he'll be in here at noon, by the way. The
updated
schedule. Trey Flowers will join us at noon. Rob Ninkovich at 12:30. James White at, Rob Ninkovich at 11:30. James White at 12:30. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe live at Gillette on a Patriots Monday. Sports Radio WEEI.